This is WXPR News. I'm Erin Gottsacker. Firefighters say lithium-ion batteries may have been the cause of a fire at a Minocqua waste transfer station yesterday. About 150 firefighters from 49 fire departments responded to the blaze. It took them nearly 8 hours to extinguish. The fire call went out just after 9 a.m. That's when a garbage truck dumped its load containing hot materials inside the large transfer station on Highway J in the town of Minocqua. The hot materials then ignited other waste. While there were no visible flames, white smoke and the stench of burning garbage filled the air. Buried under tons of garbage, the fire resisted many truckloads of water that was sprayed over it. Minocqua Fire Chief Luke Taylor says they used two excavators and a backhoe to pull the garbage out into the open where it was finally extinguished. Officials haven't assessed damage to the building yet. Taylor says its exterior is intact, but steel beams inside the building may have sagged from the intense heat. The transfer station in Minocqua collects waste and recyclables from communities in Oneida, Vilas, Forest, Lincoln, and Iron counties in Wisconsin, and Gogebic County in Michigan. From Minocqua, the waste is hauled to their K&W landfill in Ontonagon, and recyclables are taken to a recycling plant in Eagle River. A spokesperson from the facility says they don't expect the fire to disrupt service to customers. They've made arrangements with other facilities in the short term. Many Americans appear to have changed their minds when it comes to climate change. A survey released last week by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and NPR found 70% of the U.S. sees climate change as a crisis and major problem. WXPR's Katie Thorson reports.
More than 3 in 4 U.S. adults report being personally affected by extreme weather events, and a quarter say extreme weather caused serious health problems. People are also recognizing the ties between that extreme weather and climate change. That's a significant shift, says Alonzo Plow, chief science officer at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
You know, that's a shift from, say, the way people thought 4 or 5 years ago, that this is some kind of distant problem around polar bears and melting ice caps and all of that. That's all true and all important, but that seems a bit abstract compared to the floods in your neighborhood.
More people are also recognizing how climate change can create serious health and financial problems. Things like wildfire smoke or extreme heat leads to increased hospitalizations. The damage caused by these storms can cost home and property owners. Plow says research has shown the impact of climate change can be even more detrimental in rural areas.
Many, many rural areas are bearing the brunt of this, both where you are in the upper Midwest, but in California and the rural agricultural Central Valley. The disproportionate impact of these kinds of weather-related events on health and well-being.
There is still time to reduce our carbon footprint and prevent even more catastrophic consequences of climate change. Much of that will be up to governments making policy changes. But it can also be done at a local level. Plow encourages changes like switching to an electric car when it's time to buy a new one, or local governments installing more solar panels.
All levels can respond, from city, local, individual, to state and federal. But ultimately, it's going to take many coordinated activities to reverse this impact that climate change is having on our health right now.
You can view the report on our website, WXPR.org. Katie Thorson, WXPR News.
With Roe v. Wade overturned, Illinois is one of the few Midwestern states where abortions are still legal. Now the state's abortion clinics are bracing for a surge in out-of-state patients. Yamalcy Rodriguez leads Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region in southwest Missouri. She says its focus is on making sure folks have the resources they need to access abortions across state lines, as nearly all abortions in Missouri are now illegal.
We are working together with the Pritzker administration to ensure nurse practitioners and physician assistants can practice to the full extent of their training, including providing aspiration abortions, commonly known as in-clinic abortions.
St. Louis Alders on Friday introduced legislation that would start a $1 million abortion fund to provide financial resources to people who need to cross state lines to seek reproductive health care. And Illinois isn't just facing a surge on its western border. Kentucky's abortion ban triggered Friday. The Indiana General Assembly is holding a special session next week where lawmakers will likely pass a ban. And an 1849 Wisconsin law outlaws abortions in that state, although that policy will likely face lawsuits soon. Kadsia Sharif with the Chicago Abortion Fund says even before Roe fell, the group was on track to support a record number of people this year, 80% of whom have been from out of state.
The increase in numbers that we've seen is due to many factors. It's in response to increased need that we've seen due to more restrictions and bans, as well as the strain of ongoing global pandemic and economic crisis.
In 2020, about a fifth of all the abortions performed in Illinois were for out-of-state residents. And anti-abortion groups in Wisconsin say they will work with lawmakers next year to update or replace the state's 1849 abortion ban. Some Democrats and abortion rights supporters have questioned the validity of that ban. Abortion opponents want the legislature to clarify and strengthen it in 2023 to completely ban surgical and medication abortions. Attorney General Josh Call has already said he will not enforce the ban. He's promised to provide more information about his response later this week. For WXPR News, I'm Erin Gottsacker reporting.